Today is 13th April 2023. I'm at Dr. Yellappa Reddy's house. This is Sameer Agnihotri from the archives at NCBS. And we are here to do the first session of the oral history interview for the archives. Thank you so much, Dr. Reddy.
Namaste, ma.
Namaskara.
Namaste.
So, first in the, can we start? Which language do you prefer, Kannada or English? Both?
Anything? English better.
English better, so that others can also easily understand. So, please start from the very beginning, when you were born, where were you born, you know, your childhood, if you can just give a, take us through that journey.
You see, people may surprise. I was born in Adugodi. Adugodi now is the heart of Bangalore city.
Yes.
Where National Dairy Research Institute and very small, tiny village.
Yes.
Though it is very close to the city market and also to the cantonment, Hosur Road. And we were middle class agriculturists. We had cows, we had buffaloes, we had land, wetland, garden land, and small dairy where we used to do the milking and supplying milk to the hotels. That is our main livelihood. To make it more this thing, right from 1910 onwards, my grandmother and their family completely wiped out, except my grandmother and my father. So when they were completely wiped out, we had some lands, but nobody was there to take care of the land. That is in 1910, and that's what my father and my grandmother used to tell me. Then my grandmother used to take the milk products, that is the Masuru, is curd. She used to carry from Adugodi to Basungudi, it is about 5 kilometers. And she had contact with all Brahmin families and regular customers. So she learned certain things there, spiritual things about Ramayana, Mahabharata. When we were very young, she used to sing that some songs of Mahabharata in colloquial language.
Yes, yes.
And very fairly good looking lady, very old. And so this collecting the milk, then converting milk into curd, and then into buttermilk, into butter, into ghee. This was all, they were doing it locally in our house. They used to do that one when before I born in 1937. So in that way, we are very closely connected with the land, animals, and the dairying, agriculture, all these things. So as a child, I used to go with my herd of buffaloes and cows to our land. The land is very close by Hosur Road, touching to the main Hosur Road. Opposite to our land, there was a prisoners colony. Prisoners, Italian prisoners were there.
Oh,
that is in the Second World War. Mm. So they were stationed there in the Hosur Road. So the Italian prisoners used to do the road construction. Well-built fellows. We used to grow tomatoes, beautiful indigenous variety tomatoes. So these people, while doing this road work, we used to throw that tomatoes to them. They used to greedily eat the fresh ones. So in return, they used to throw some cake and cigarettes and other things to us. So our workers used to greedily accept the cigarettes and the cake and other things. So that's how we used to watch the prisoners and road construction work, etc., as a children. And we used to accompany our workers and permanent workers, and while doing agriculture, the the knowledge of our workers about the soil, about sowing of the seeds, about the various intricacies of seed collection, seed gradation, seed processing, seed sowing, and then what depth it should go, and about more than about 20 varieties we used to grow in dryland agriculture, that is polyculture. It is not only the ragi was the main crop, ragi, pulses, and then oil seeds, mustard, so like that, the pulses, oil seeds, cereals, almost everything whatever we want. And also we had some small ponds, and that water we used to use to grow some vegetables, including tomatoes. So tomatoes we used to collect the evening, and we used to carry this to the city market. It is about 5 kilometers from Adugodi. So my father used to accompany them. They used to sell that tomatoes in baskets. So in that way, I had an opportunity to look into the various intricacies of agriculture, horticulture, animal husbandry. So that make you, to think as a young boy. I developed little interest in talking to them, talking to the my laborers, workers, and and I used to record that sort of a things. So soil means it is like this. So sowing means it is like this. So sowing means how you have to operate your fingers to release the small ones, medium size, young ones. They used to hold our hand and they used to teach us. So that's a skill. That's a skill. Then they used to smell the soil. They used to feel the pulse of a soil, whether bacteria is there, full of fertility is there. And we used to put lot of farmyard manure. We never used to waste even single drop of urine, a single grain of dung. So we used to collect the dung, the urine in our cattle yard, just adjacent to our house. So all those things make you intimately connected to the nature and natural activities, and there is not of a much of a machines except the flow. There is no mechanization, no chemicals, no chemical forming, no hybrids. So there are good varieties of ragi, iron variety, so many varieties of ragis also. So my father used to do lot of trials of different varieties of ragis. He used to fetch ragi from different places. It's all in, not hybrid varieties, all indigenous varieties of the ragi, and avareham, pulses, oil seeds. That way they used to exchange the seeds. They used to come and take our seeds, and they used to come in search of our farm. My father was a good farmer, good farmer. First, shall we finish this?
We stop for once.
We need this come.
We were talking about the skills of seed.
See, the exposure to the child root, which is still has got great capacity to receive and register. So, as a young 10-12-year-old boy, then several neurons will be awaiting for knowledge. So this knowledge, the holistic knowledge of understanding the soil and the seed and how it germinates, how the cotyledons go there, epicotyl, hypocotyl, why the cotyls are inside. So my laborers used to tell them. They got good knowledge of the botany, but not the botany science, but botanical knowledge of the seeds and the monocot and the dicot and all these things. They were able to see how delicate that taproot is when it germinates, because they used to do thinning with the help of a very nicely. They used to do the thinning, removing the inferior ones, keeping the best varieties when they are very young seedlings of 3 centimeters, 1 inch, 1.5 inch. When it attains that height, then they used to do the thinning with the help of the bullocks used to mow, and there is a an equipment where they used to do very cleverly, remove all the inferior ones. Genetically inferior ones, they can easily make out this is this is the inferior one, and superior seedlings they used to keep. So that is a skill. So in that way, they used to do that. I used to appreciate that. I used to walk with them, how he is able to thin out, because we used to do the broadcasting and not the transplanting. So all these things is very important for the children. Instead of sending them to the school, school education or alphabets and mathematics, trigonometry, algebra, this thing, that thing, science, physics, chemistry, maths, it's something different. This is the holistic science. So there I used to enjoy that. That made me slightly a different individual. In my family, my other brothers, our family is a very big family. My parents had 19 issues.
Wow.
So nine died. 5 boys and 5 girls survived, but no, some of them died. So 5, 10 members alive, all of them married, and I am second son. My brother was also an engineer. Now all his sons are abroad and places. So my sisters also in roundabout Bangalore. So their children also now well settled. So my children also quite well settled. So in that way, my brothers, they didn't like to come and spend that time with the laborers and agriculture. I used to enjoy that. So that difference I'm telling. In the same family, my elder brother never used to, very rarely, he used to come for just a casual visit, not for... And my younger ones also were not very serious in involving in the activities. So I involved, I used to enjoy, spend a lot of time in the field. Then what happened, I did my education in the government school. Then I used to carry milk to the hotel, and then I used to study in high school. In English medium, it's difficult to get English medium because I studied in Kannada medium. Then I approached the principal and requested him to accommodate in English medium. He was good enough to accept my application. And I had a good high school teachers, very good teachers. So I did my matriculation, then intermediate, then I entered into agricultural college. This is in brief how a child keenly interested in agricultural practices. So God is kind to me to give good teachers, and I completed my matriculation and intermediate PUC or whatever they call it now. Then I got secured a seat in agricultural college. I had excellent teachers in agricultural college.
Which college was that?
Agricultural.
Here, U.S.
No, it was in under Mysore University. U.S. came very later.
Okay.
In 1957, the agricultural college was under Mysore University. Mysore University. So, I graduated in agricultural science. Then I scored good marks in soil science. Then I secured a seat in Coimbatore. There was no post graduation in Karnataka State. Either we have to go for post graduation, 2 seats for soil science, 2 for entomology, 2 for crop breeding. So, like that, 5-6 seats. Tamil Nadu government used to allot, and in Delhi also they used to give some seats for post-graduation. So most of the students used to go to either to Delhi or to Coimbatore for post-graduation. So I went to Coimbatore for post-graduation in soil science. Meanwhile, I have written a competitive examination for my Indian Forest Service. I thought I may not get through, but somehow I got selected. But I was interested in soil science. But my professor, Mari Kolandai and Durai Raj, advised me, "Now, Mr. Scientist, okay, it is good, but forestry science is interesting. Oh, you should go there and join, you will become an officer. You may do better there. Somehow within 6 months we have become very intimate." So they used to like me, they advised me. So this is an opportunity to, you can certainly do better there, because of my, I'm a sincere student. I used to sit in the front row, I used to listen to my teachers, I used to take notes. So I was been branded as a Kunbi. Kunbi means a very obedient student. So then my agricultural college studies of 3 years after intermediate was wonderful. I had very good teachers in genetics, in entomology, in pathology, soil science, even animal husbandry, agricultural engineering. All these subjects they used to teach. Then from Coimbatore I joined Indian Forest College. But what happened, when I went to Dehradun, I thought there must be something about our own knowledge about documents about the Aranya forest, because we used to address Aranya in every Veda and Upanishads. The name of Aranya or forest used to very profusely they used to mention. So our civilization started from forest. Western civilization started from stones. There is a vast difference. That's what Rabindranath Tagore stated in one of the Oxford University or some university while delivering a lecture. He stated that your civilization started from cities, from economy, commerce, trade, but our civilization started from forest. Conservation, protection, preservation, caring and sharing with biodiversity. So in that way, I had little knowledge about that, though I have not studied Sanskrit and other things. But I had some knowledge because I was concerned about it also. Because of this background of my childhood, nature is some bountiful and it needs very delicate, gentle manipulations. So that registration embedded in my genes, embedding that concern is very important to the children. So what is required with present education, it is completely alienated. It is only computers or IT software, this, that, etc. But that intimacy with the nature is completely alienated. So that concern embedded in my neurons. So that made me to think slightly differently when compared to my other colleagues.
At IFS?
In Indian Forest College.
Yes.
So I went around the library to see that there must be something about all these things. Let me see. There is nothing. Only about the champion classification, then stubbing, all kinds of things. There were good European foresters also who were concerned about the conservation. Then there was a lot of mention about the Second World War, where the Second World War, they virtually looted our forests, virtually creaming our forests. So many of the foresters, European foresters, objected for that. The forest main function is water supply catchment, maintaining the stream flow, and then maintaining the biodiversity. About 20% of the European foresters has recorded some of these views, which was there. But nothing about Ruksha Ayurveda, nothing about Gaja Ayurveda, nothing about Ashwa Ayurveda. So all those things were there in India, Chalukyas, right from the Ashoka time. Conservation, preservation, banning hunting, only a certain seasons only they will allow. All those things were there in the history, in Indian history. But none of those things were found there. That made me a little depressed. What is wrong? Why we have not documented, why we have not addressed these issues in the college? But most of my colleagues they respected only the Western style of management and protection, but not the traditional things. So there is a lot of difference between me and my other colleagues in the Indian Forest College. But I never used to speak, but I used to consume myself the tragedy of not having this knowledge in our curriculum. In our curriculum, we need some of these things, at least about the importance of the conservation, biodiversity, caring and sharing, etc. But that was not there. It is only purely commercial exploitation, making sleepers for railways, then shipbuilding, then the monoculture, converting natural forest into coffee plantations, this thing, and then into teak plantations.
Sorry.
In teak plantations. In the other forest also they used to cut for sleepers.
Yeah.
So in our literature there is a mention about Kailasa. Kailasa means Himalaya. In Himalaya, Goddess Parvati used to feed breast milk to nurture devadar trees. There is a mention, there is a sloka. So she used to feed her breast milk to nurture the young devadar trees. So that is this type of sentimental, spiritual, umbilical connections given by our ancestors. It is something, you know, which is very, if you just spiritually look into it, that is, Parvati giving breast milk is the ultimate, to a tree. So, all these things were working in my mind. Then I searched there, there is not much about it, except some European stray officers, like Stebbing was written about the importance of the forest and water supply catchment areas. And he has also written series of articles in 1950s in Indian Forester. Water supply catchment, all rivers in India, how deforestation has reduced stream flow. So this forest will be converted into this, so many streams have dried up in Kaveri Basin, in Ganga Basin, in Brahmaputra Basin, Narmada. Every river basins in 1950s, he has written a beautiful articles with a table indicating in 1900 it is like this, so many streams were flowing, even during the summer months also. So river flows pure and beautiful. Then how gradually reduction has taken place, how many streams have dried up. So that has really made me very curious. The connection of forest is not for just timber, fuelwood, or even wildlife. More than that, it is water. Water, mountain, forest, that interconnections, interrelationships, interdependence, really, I used to read this magazine, Stebbing's magazine. I was really surprised. I was not aware how Ganga flows throughout the year so beautifully, how so sacred it is. He has not mentioned about the sacredness, but he has mentioned about the connection between the biodiversity, water, forest, and hierarchy of the forest. So below the ground, what tuber crops, Dioscoreas, digitalis, so many tuber crops which are edible and non-edible, how deep it is, then how the mycorrhiza is to help in facilitating the tree growth, how the co-evolution of mycorrhiza and the tree, each tree has got their own mycorrhiza, their own what do you call, the matrix of the bacteria, then especially the mycorrhiza and the fungus, the mosses, the lichens, a whole lot of things. Later on, I came to, started reading about the role of mosses, lichens, mycorrhiza. So even till date, when I created in a forest in Bangalore city, I got this soil, mycorrhiza inoculated, because I was aware, we thought that mycorrhiza, these species won't survive. I succeeded in creating a forest. Anyway, that we will come to the topic later on. So, all those things has made me slightly different, and I was also interested in medicinal plants, sacred plants. I used to pay a little more attention to the non-timber NTFs, non-timber products, medicinal plants, etc. I scored good marks also in that chapter. And silviculture also, I scored good marks. Because I used to pay more attention to the understanding the silviculture and arboriculture. So, I scored fairly good marks in certain topics. Other things, engineering, etc., I was not very keen. So, that made me different. As soon as my training, I came with that background, with that mental makeup. There is something wrong in the management of the forest. Then when I came, they posted me to Western Ghats. My first posting to Madikeri, the Western Ghat, for survey of forest resources survey. That was a great opportunity.
What year was that? Do you remember?
That is in 1962. Okay. 62 to 63, one full year, forest resources survey of Kodagu district. Kodagu, Bangalore, Mysore, entire Western Ghat. So I concentrated only on the semi-evergreen and evergreen forest, monsoon forests.
Mm.
I couldn't come up to Mysore and Bangalore and Uttarakhand, I couldn't cover. But I confined, because it was interesting, the hierarchy of 100 feet tall, beautiful Dipterocarpus, then the Mesophera, the Vetterias, lovely forests, the predominant, codominant, the dominant, then shade bearers, semi-shade bearers, light demanders. So all these things, you know, I used to take some of the experienced guards I used to request the DFO to instruct to range officers to depute good experienced foresters and guards to train me to prepare a document of forest resources. So that way I was lucky. The DFOs used to cooperate and issue instruction to take care of me about my food and this. I was not very keen about the food, etc. But they used to take care of me because they know that I am going to become their officer later on.
Oh.
So they used to treat me well, and I used to document it beautifully. That made me a very good, understanding the empirical knowledge. Not only the academic knowledge of the books, and this empirical knowledge of the tribals and experienced foresters, they have seen the European administration also. European administration from 1860, first IGP, the Brandis, the official Brandis. So like that made me really something very interesting. So the empirical knowledge is much more valuable because the academic knowledge, whatever they tell or whatever they have seen in the laboratory, must have been documented. Here is undocumented knowledge of observation. So this childhood knowledge, that retention of keen observation, I retained till date. I'm 87 now. So, 7 year old to 87, still that curiosity and is still persists in me. So I'm I immediately recollect that one. It comes to me without my efforts. This is called effortless knowledge. Once if you get an imprint at the young age, that imprint continues. That is very, very important. So that sort of efforts made me to understand my Western Ghats. So I served in the Western Ghats area for more than 15 years as a assistant conservator of forest, as a deputy conservator of forest of Unsur, Coorg, and Hassan, and then conservator of forest, then like that. So this period of 15 years or 16 years, I used to walk a lot. I used to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. My wife is a good companion. She was not a highly educated girl. I married when she was at 17. And she used to respect my, take care of me throughout my life. And she used to get up and prepare some food to me. And then I used to go very early in the morning. So till evening I used to work in the field. So it is very well known in the department even today. Yellapredi used to get up at 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. 6 o'clock he used to be in the forest. He used to wake up with guards and foresters also. In that way my brand name, he is very sincere in his work. So many people used to tell me, why are you doing so much of work? Are they going to give you Bharat Ratna or some other title, etc.? Then I used to tell you, I am not interested in Bharat Ratna, I am interested in work. So more you see, more you learn, more your urge. Urge comes when person who is not knowledgeable or is not keen to acquire more knowledge will remain stagnant water. So more you learn, more knowledge is available, plenty of knowledge is available. I am nothing when compared to the knowledge which is there in the field. Field is the open laboratory, open library, with abundant knowledge. As you know, you are concentrating on rocket-tailed drongo, and the more you study about it, more keen you wanted to know more about their behavior, their feeding habitat, their breeding habitat, nesting habitat, and their calls. Different calls, different occasions, when there is a threat.
Absolutely.
When they wanted to call their mate. Yes. Beautiful melodious song.
Yes.
And while mating, yes, the joy, the expression of this thing. So more you see that, you wanted to learn more and more. So, somehow I retained that urge of talking to the people.
In those 15 years, you were in the Coorg region only, or
the Western Ghats?
All over.
All over. Uttar Kannada, in Coorg, Hassan.
But in Karnataka?
In Karnataka.
Okay.
Only in Karnataka.
Right.
So, that urge is important. That keeps you alive.
Yes.
The moment you think, I am old, I am aged, I am retired, finish, you are almost like a dead body. So according to me, you will become a corpse, dead body. The moment you think, I am aged now, I cannot walk, I am retired, I know everything. So the moment you think that I know everything, and you started talking about it, only about your limited knowledge, then you will not acquire that new freshness. Freshness comes when you want, when you have that internal urge of knowing things. So in that way, I spent about 15, 16 years in the Western Ghats of Karnataka state. The most interesting thing is, without my asking, I got best divisions, best circles, best places. Though chief ministers knew I am little arrogant, I am little independent, I don't yield, but they preferred me. So I don't blame the politicians. Politicians also wanted to have good officers. Present day politicians, I don't know, but during my regime, as I told you, this book, which has been published by one of the retired principal chief conservator Forrest, he mentions about my contribution. Report by A. Nellapp Reddy Kodugu, a district under socio-ecological stress. That is in when I was a secretary. In
forest
both
secretary?
Forest, environment secretory. For not forest.
Environment.
I was the environment secretary. So they discussed in the assembly and also in the council about looting of the forest and destroying the Western Ghats by timber mafia with the connivance of the forest officers. So in the assembly they were discussing, some reporter came running to me, "Sir, you were sitting in the office, there is so much they are discussing about you, about your integrity, about your sincerity, and they are going to appoint you as a LPD commission to submit a report to the government. We were coolly sitting here," I said. "I don't know, I'm not aware of that." So in that way, the sincerity, dedication, determination is very important for a person, not material wealth, but wealth. Wealth means just, if you just see this, this is the photograph, this is a photograph. This is Justice Nagmohan Das, Justice High Court, sitting judge. So when Chief Justice Dr. Ramchandra, so he's also one of the well-known industrialists, helping me, doctors. So in that way, getting recognition, it is very easy, simple, but people are struggling and applying for recognitions, awards. When they given an award to me for my good work in Western Ghats, in North Kerala district, I refused to accept the award. I recommended to give it to the daily wage worker, Tulsi Gowda, a daily wage worker. Her dedication was far superior than myself. I have been paid fat salary, given all comforts, and doing some good work is not a great thing. But a daily wage worker who is getting 2 rupees or 5 rupees daily, her dedication I found much more valuable Then I fought with the government, then recommended her to go and receive Indira Priyadarshini Award. She received. And later on she got Padma Shri also. What I mean, don't crave for your recognitions. Most of them take credit of others' work. I did it. One should not do that. And I don't accept. I will give credit to those people who have really contributed. And ultimately, you will also get much greater respect by giving that, not taking. Giving gives you much great pleasure than craving for something else. So in my life, I really thought giving is or recommending others, giving credit to others is most will contribute for positive, spiritual, divine environment. So the moment your subordinate knows that you are like that, he will get inspired. He will do much better work. So by looking at the top man, middle man, sub-professionals, daily wage workers, so the entire hierarchy will get into a divine style of working, not for the sake of working. I will tell you one thing. I never used to question my subordinates. I used to sanction their estimates. I used to tell, see, if I come there, you are going to give me food. To me, my driver, your guard, watcher, you have to spend all this money. Or if our chief conservators or somebody comes, you have to meet the expenses. You claim, but take care of your subordinates. Take care of your daily wage workers. Give them handsome, not for having a car and a driver, but for to fill their bellies and to take care of their children. Openly used to tell my subordinates. That made my subordinates total, respect, holistic respect to yours. Boss will command respect only when you understand their grievances, their needs, and he in turn takes the care of the last person who is working in the soil, in the rain and in the warm sun. And that sort of a ethics, professional ethics. That sort of a professional ethics will create a divine atmosphere in any working country. In governance, in management, in conservation. So none of my subordinates connived with smugglers. I used to tell them, if you connive, I will dismiss you. I will punish you. I will stop your increments. If you want more money, you ask our ranger. Ask me directly. For any crisis in the family also, you ask for that, we will try to help you. We may not help you in a big way, but certainly we can afford to help. It's such a very big department. We are spending crores creating crores of worth assets, but don't connive, don't indulge in smuggling. So that has paid me very big dividend. And I used to get some information also about the smuggling, etc. Without informing, I used to keep some informants. I used to pay about 50 rupees for him. But he's Markundiru. Illi yenadrunu, suppose if the ranger or the guard indulges, you, when I come, you inform me. So, the moment you question, Yenri, how are you? I was told there is some illicit dwellings has taken place with your. Where is it? Illa, sir, nothing happened. No, I will tell you where it is. So, the moment you pinpoint where the smuggling is taken place, the message travels, oh, this man is something different. He can make out. Everybody should be careful enough. This boss is like this. You could make out where exactly the felling has taken place. This is the unwritten laws, unwritten methods of managing protection, preservation. No textbook will teach you. No teacher will teach you. You have to create methods of remote control. The most important IFS officers, syllabus include these remote control methods. And you should devote 60% of your time for field work, 40% only for your office or other work. If not, at least 50% of the time. You tell your bosses, my work is in the field, not in the office or attending the meetings. I will send my ACF, you give some instructions, whatever the instruction, district meetings, etc. Many IAS officers used to take objection. DFO is not coming for the meeting. Then I used to tell my minister and deputy commissioner, see, in your meeting you go on talking about other departments. My department, if there is anything, you give instructions to my ACF, he will come and attend. We'll take note of it and we'll carry on. We'll do that work. So I cannot come sit all day. I have got better work to do. But nobody have taken seriously about my absence, because even Chief Secretary, Mr. Satish Chandran, one of the most ablest chief secretary, told in open meeting when I was a conservator, when my department progress and other things came for discussions, he told in open meeting, I have seen forest officers work from last 3 days. There is nothing to discuss. They are doing their job with dedication. There is no need to discuss or deliberate here. Everybody should try to learn from them. So, your image and your work and your sincerity will travel much ahead of you. So, your image goes much ahead of you when you start your career with ethics, with determination. Then that impression will travel much faster to the next place when you go there. Oh, he's a strict officer. He's very sincere, very hardworking. So that itself will curtail all illegal activities or whatever the other things is going on, we have to be careful. So all of our subordinates will be alert. So, I have been posted to the best of the divisions, best of the circles, best of the places without asking. I never craved for any place. So what I mean to say, when you compare to any other service, IAS or IPS or Indian Foreign Service, the nature of work is, tightly framed. Indian Forest Service, Foreign Service, tightly, you have to be like this. You have to be like this. So similarly, police officer. Catch hold of some crime, some thief, then investigation of some case, punishing them, then IAS officer. So only when you are a deputy commissioner, you may be able to do some good social service. But later on, minister go and sit with a file, listen to some ministers. So my job, most noble job, I used to tell all IFS probationers, this is the most noble job of serving Mother Earth. If you plant a tree, if the tree covers, when it starts bearing fruits and flowers, when you see the birds sitting there enjoying, bees coming and taking the nectar, what an amount of pleasure you get. Which service you get this? A doctor may cure some patient, so conduct some good operation, finish. But here, I used to tell IFS probationers, don't think it is a service inferior to the IAS or IPS or whatever it may be. But God has given you so much of powers, so much of opportunity to looking into all these things. So I enjoyed that throughout my life. So my feeling today, is I'm very happy to write about my 60 years experience, and fortunately my wife also is good, you know, to mention that. I must mention that people may think differently. When I was a deputy conservator of Forest Unso, it's in Chief Minister's constituency, 7 long years I spent there. The private secretaries of the Chief Ministers used to ask me, sir, why don't you apply for a site in Bangalore to build a house? We will get you, because you are so intimate with the Chief Minister. You apply, we will immediately get you. Then I asked my wife, shall I apply? She is not highly educated. But she said, don't do that. The moment you are under the obligation of a Chief Minister, I favored him, you will not get this respect. Now, Chief Minister comes to your office, then calls you, talks to you, that much of respect you are commanding. So I want you. So that way, family also is equally important. So you must tell your partner, this is my area, where I have got Saru Amma, Mandavanadurge. You have to help me. So that sort of a mandate, guidelines, One has to prepare a guidelines how I should work. You should tell your wife, you should tell your children, you should tell your relatives or your friends. I will do everything legally, not illegally. So I used to have a very big depots. Number of friends used to come, including judges, doctors. I used to tell them, I will do everything legally, including chief minister, I told him. Devarajas was constructing a house. He asked me, chief minister, I am constructing a house, I want some timber, can you help me? Oh. Yeah, definitely, sir. You are entitled for that. Give me an application, get the government order sanction. I will personally see every log and I will arrange to send it to you. You ask your carpenter to give the dimensions, etc. Accordingly, I will select the logs. He gave a written application, got the government order sanctioning 400 CFT of timber for his bona fide use. There is a provision. So that is the type of a moral strength one should equip. Moral strength. He has not taken it differently. Of course, there were bad ministers also. They asked me, can you not do that much? No, sir, it is impossible. I can't do. I will go. You can get whomever you want. Then you do that. Including, I told Gundarao. Gundarao was supposed to be a very rowdy nature of chief minister. He posted me to his constituency. Then he asked me to do some favor to one of his friends. I told him, I will not do it. Stop the car. I will get down. I will pack or go things. Then you can do whatever you want to do. So one should have that moral fiber.
He didn't transfer you after that?
No. He never transferred. And his wife was sitting
next to
me. She was so happy. Gundarao's wife.
Yeah.
She was so happy. In Yelor Beko. She told me, people should advise like this, not to commit nonsense things. She was also very not educated lady, but said that. So everybody likes it. Everybody wants something, sanity in their life. And nice things, and the courageous things to tell truth. So Vidura, in Ramayana, in Mahabharata, as a advisor to the family members, he never feared, he never cared. So in our mythology very clearly says that either Ramayana or Mahabharata or Bhagavad Gita or Vidura Niti, Vidura morals. So when you read it, you will come to know about it, its value of it. So that's how I, in brief, about the introduction of the topics. Now you can frame it how, what fashion you want to record or documents you require. So
pause, Mariana. I'll pause it for today.
Yeah, what's the time now?
5:15.
Oh.